My name is Daniel. I am 12 years old. Today is March 15th, and I'm speaking with Crystal Even, who was my great-grandmother. We are recording in this interview in Salt Lake City, Utah. Can you tell me one or two people who have been the biggest influences on you?
It would be my mother. She was a very loving mother. She had eight children.
That's a lot.
Yeah, it's a lot of, it was a big family, but they always took in other children to live with them. Most of the time there'd be 10 of us around.
Okay.
Because she always said, if there's heart room, there's house room. And she had a lot of heart room. And I always said, if I could be as good as my mother was, I'd be happy.
What is there, like a teacher or something that had a big impact other than your mother?
My teacher in the eighth grade. That would be in South Dakota. That's I was born in Wilmot, South Dakota, little town in Roberts County in South Dakota, and where you had a grade school and a high school all in one building. And the grade school went at the bottom level of this, and the high school students went at the top level. And my eighth grade teacher was, her name was Miss Sherbrin. And she just was terrific. And she could spur you on to do anything. She really helped you to excel in your studies and enjoy doing it. She knew how to show you
That's
to study
good.
And it was.
No, this is kind of a different question. What advice would you give to your teenage self?
To my what?
Teenage self.
Teenage self? When I was a teenager, that's a long time ago, you know.
Mm-hmm.
That was a long, long time ago. I don't know. Yes, I do know. I know that we moved from the Dakotas to Great Talk Falls, Montana, and I decided I didn't like going to school. And I'd been a student in the Dakotas, so my mother was upset.
Yeah.
And she was. And we had some hard times. You see, the reason I didn't want to go to school was I'd left this little school.
Yeah.
And gone to this big school.
Yeah.
Where they are not really kind to, what do I want to call it? People from the sticks, I guess you'd call it. They figured that you come from the Dakotas, you were backwards, and they tease you. You know, you couldn't find your classroom because they had this one big two-story building, and that was the high school.
Yeah.
You know?
That's sad.
And so I just had a hard time that first year in high school. But then after that, everything was fine.
So what advice would you give to yourself to, like, help improve that experience? Like, if you could go back in time and talk to your teenage self, what advice would you give yourself?
I would tell myself, hey, look, you can do this. Because I could, and if I had wanted to, or had I don't know. But I would tell myself, you can do this. You can do this. You've always been good in school. Your schoolwork's excellent. You just don't let them bully you. I guess that would be what I would have said. Don't let them push you around. Then you know what they do? They tell me, oh, there's the elevators down there. Well, I've never seen an elevator. I didn't know what an elevator was. And so I go down there and stand and wait for the elevator or something to come, and nothing came because it was a telephone booth.
Oof.
And in South Dakota, we didn't have even a telephone. We never had telephones. We didn't have indoor plumbing or electric stoves or gas stoves they cooked with. So everything was very strange, very different, and it was hard.
Yeah. Are there any, like, positive memories that have shaped you for, like, your whole life?
Well, I don't know. I know that I was only 16 when my dad died.
That's sad.
And I had 5 older brothers, and then I came along, and so I was his little princess, and he really, possibly, you'd say, I don't know that he spoiled me, because he spoiled all of us. He really did. He was this wonderful daddy. He worked away from home because during the Depression, you know, they didn't work was hard to find.
Yeah.
And so he worked for a company that was about 20 miles from where we lived. He'd have to go on Sunday evening and come home on Friday evening. And it was doing well drilling. And we had a lot of different family, different people living in our homes that if someone didn't have some place to live, they came. They always took them in. Anyway, we had one little boy that was the same age as my youngest sister. And between the two of them, they'd see him down the road coming. They'd run and grab his leg and just hang on him all the way home. I never heard my mother and dad have a squabble, which is kind of unusual. I mean, most all of us do have squabbles, but I never heard them. Possibly they, you know, kept it to themselves, or maybe some of them, they were born and raised in a Norwegian home and baptized, married in the Norwegian language, and they spoke a lot of Norwegian. And when we weren't supposed to understand what they were saying, they used the language, you know, their native tongue, and it, I don't know, because I never learned to speak.
Are there any less positive memories that kind of have shaped you to this day?
I have a positive memory that should have shaped me, but it didn't. I got married instead of going on to school. What I really liked to do was curl people's hair, be a hairdresser. I really did. And had I not gotten married at 19, I may have gone on and had a career in that, because I did enjoy that, and I didn't do that. But I still do a lot of that, did a lot of hair and do a lot of hair.
Can you tell me one of your happiest memories?
Well, there was the happy memory when I got married. You know, it was, and especially when our first baby was born, when your grandpa was born, we had been married for a number of years, and all of my brothers had families, you know, and I really wanted the little one in the house. So when we'd been married 5 years when he arrived, and that was a happy moment. And then, of course, when Karen, because of being 11 years between their having the two, she was really special, very special happy moments. And I can't say that I ever regretted being home and taking care of my children, taking care of foster children, and taking care of some of the couples that lived in one family. She taught in the school, and she had two little girls, and we took in I enjoyed it. I really enjoyed having the little ones.
What's one of the most important life lessons that you've learned?
Take it to the Lord in prayer, I guess, is the greatest one that I've learned, because especially when things happen we cannot understand, God understands, and God sends us comfort.
Yeah.
And that's probably the most important. And I've learned that there's a lot of peace and goodness and knowing how to forgive people. That's can make for a beautiful life.
Thinking about like your family, like many generations from now, is there anything that you'd want to say to them? Any like advice you want to share or something like that?
You know, when we grew up, when I grew up in the Dakotas, my parents came from large family, both of them. And so when we would get together, the group, and it was their parents that had come in and homesteaded there in the Dakotas, but we would get together and there could be 100 of us.
That's a lot.
Because everybody had 10 children or 12 children. And it didn't seem, it just seemed natural in those days. It was not. I don't know what I'd say. I guess I'd probably tell my Aunt Olga, hey, Aunt Olga, I'm trying to hang on here as long as you did. And I know that she enjoyed life, and she loved the Lord, and she thanked him every day for each day she had.
What about the newer generations, like maybe like us or the
like
our kids?
You.
Yeah.
Just remember who you are. You are God's child. And always remember that. Sometimes when things get tough, it's you have to remember that you have a Father in heaven to call on.
Yeah. Have you ever had like a really shaping religious or spiritual experience?
Have I? Well, I guess you'd say I didn't. My mother had. My mother was very ill when I was right after we moved to Montana, and she was in the hospital, and she ran a temp of 105 for many days. And the doctor had said to her that when she loses consciousness, that she will pass away. And so we were right at her bedside for a long time, and then finally decided we need to go home and rest, my dad and I and my brother. And while we were gone, my grandma said that she felt herself sinking like she was falling. And she started to pray the 23rd Psalm, and she felt an arm underneath of her and lifted her right back up in the bed. She sat up, and then when the nurse came in the next time, she looked at her and she said, "What happened to you?" And she said, "I'm well." And she was. They wanted to do a lot of tests, you know how they do?
Yeah.
She said, "No, I believe that God wanted me to be well to take care of my children, and that's good enough for me. I'm well. You don't have to do tests for me." And then the next year, my dad died when I was 16. And so she did have children that she needed to be there for, and she was.
Well, it looks like we're about at the end of these questions, and so is there any closing remarks you'd like to say?
Just, it's been a wonderful life. It really is, and I thank the Lord each morning when I wake up for the day that I have. It's wonderful.
So, is there anything that you'd like to tell me about, like, my grandpa when he was little?
He was a very good little fellow. Actually, he was a very good little fellow, but sometimes he'd throw tantrums, and he had to go outside and play no matter how cold it was. And there were some days it was cold, but he'd have to go out for a few minutes, and I'd always tell him, "You go out, blow the stink off, and then you can come back in." But he was a good boy, and he did very well in school, and he did very well in his life, and he has some beautiful children. Oh, they were precious, precious. And now we have great-grandchildren. So he was, other than that, he was a good kid. Is he over there?
Yeah.
He used to tease his little sister something fierce. Oh, he was a tease. And she'd squeal, and we'd have to scold him. I'd scold him, then I'd scold Karen, because if he quit teasing, then she'd go back for more, you know, irritate him and get... So that was the one thing, probably. He did the most. And he had a grandma, even, that would be his dad's mother. And she just really liked that little guy, he could spend time with her, and they just, and I guess my mom worked, and so we'd spend time down there at family events together, and she really did enjoy that. But she never knew Karen, because she passed away before Karen was born.
Is there any other times in life that you'd like to tell me about?
I'd like to tell you all about your great-grandfather's family, because I'm afraid that everybody's going to forget about him when I'm gone, because no one, you know, I don't know how much they know about the Even family. Your great-grandfather, your great-great-grandfather, and great-great-grandmother came over from Paris, France. Your grandfather, great-grandfather, and your great-grandmother came from Luxembourg. And you know where they are?
Yeah. So a bit further south than...
Yes. And they came in and came into the United States and Ellis Island and came out to Chicago and from Chicago on to Great Falls. In Great Falls, your great-great-grandfather was a plumber. He works there, and you know, your dad really knows. I mean, your grandpa really knows about the Even family, and I think that since all of them are gone, it could be nice if I could tell him about all of his relatives that he didn't know too well because he didn't live where they lived.
Well, yeah. Why don't we pull up a chair here, and he's right here, and you have half an hour left on this recording.
Yes.
Grandma wants to talk about Grandpa Even's side of the family. She's not sure you know some of these stories.
About how much you know about your family on the Even side. There is, you know, do you remember any of them?
Bunch of brothers.
Huh?
Bunch of brothers. Leo and Lou and...
Uncle Lou and Uncle Leo and Uncle Nick. And Aunt Clara.
Right.
And Aunt Margaret.
Margaret.
And then Miriam, but then she was no longer living. And do you know the kids, any of their children?
There's David and...
David and Clara.
Clara Fox.
Yes. Clara was your Aunt Clara. But they had two children.
Right. It was Roger and...
Carol Lee,
yeah.
And
then Uncle Lou had Ed and Bob Jimmy.
No, Uncle Lou and Aunt Esther's children were John and George. John Craig, George Craig. And...
And it was Leo's kids that were...
No, that was Lou's kids.
Right. And Leo's kids then were Bob, Ed...
And Robert.
Jim.
Who did you say first?
Robert or Bob.
Yeah, Bob and Jim and Ed.
Yep.
Yeah. And that was your cousins on that side.
All in California while we were in Montana.
Yep. So we didn't you didn't truly get know them very well. Nope. And people today don't keep in touch with one another like they used to. So, I don't know. Do you remember Auntie?
I remember a Tin and
Mildred
that lived out in Fort Shaw. Fort Shaw, yeah.
But that was on my side of the family.
On your side of the family.
Auntie was married to Uncle Nick.
A large lady.
The large lady, yes. She was a large French lady that came over after World War I. Your great-grandfather's brother married a lady from France and after World War I, and that was Auntie. She, remember when she used to come to the house, to Grandma's? They had one chair because she was such a large woman. So there was one chair that they knew that she could sit in that wouldn't break or something. So when Auntie's car drove up, everybody left that chair. You knew that chair had to be open for her to sit on when she comes in. So, and what about Margaret?
Single, never married.
No.
Not very healthy, had asthma or some breathing difficulty.
Yes, but she loved her little Billy. Billy, she would just love to have him come over and stay. And he was the only one he'd let into her room. He'd never let any of the other kids come into her bedroom up there. But always Billy could run up and get in his. So he was spoiled by the Even family. Really?
I remember the house that was Grandma Even's house had a bunch of secret passages. Had various stairwells that would go up and come down and into the kitchen and come down into the basement and
into the living room.
Yep.
They had a stairway that come down out into the kitchen and a stairway that came into the living room in the house where he played. Yeah.
Front porch, there was a bench or whatever made out of the front seat of a car that sat on the porch, and you could go out and sit in it and watch the cars go by.
Yeah.
Had building and service company across the street where mm-hmm. my dad worked for a while.
Yep.
There.
Quite a while. Started working there at 35 cents an hour.
It's not much.
Not much, no. No. But in those days, a hamburger would only cost you a dime, too.
Okay.
So, you know, things were less expensive then.
And then he worked for, Pittsburgh Paint and Glass?
Yeah.
And then taught me how to cut glass and do that.
Yeah. He was your great-grandfather was a glazier. And still, when your grandpa was a junior in high school when we moved to Salt Lake, and he went to the high school here in Salt Lake, and when I went up to talk with his parent teacher, he said to me, "You don't have to tell me what your husband is. He's a physics teacher." I said, No, I'm afraid not. He is not. But he was very intelligent. I mean, he could build and figure out, just like your mind works, honey. Just loved to figure things out. And he and Bill Jr. had done a lot. They put in, what do you call this? I can't think of what it is.
Solar heating?
Solar heating, and they put, and they built a, they're in Great Falls. What is it you made? I can't.
Well, we took out walls and changed the flow of the house.
Yeah.
From the living room into the basement.
Yeah.
And finished basement, and
I'm thinking of and your. The heat you put on this for the
built a humidifier to go on it and put, made it into a two-zone heating system and whatnot.
Mm-hmm. So they'd done a lot of that sort of thing, but he was not a physics. But
Daniel, yeah. I'll have to teach you how to cut glass. I've taught all my kids how to cut glass. Now I have to start teaching my grandkids how to cut glass.
Yep. Because you can get hurt bad, but when you know how to do it the right way, you don't. And he did a lot because when we were first married, I was 19, he was 21, and like I say, he made 35 cents an hour. And we used to go down together after working hours in the evening, and they get in these big windows, and the little panes in them, and then he'd go down and he'd put them all those little panes in these windows, and he got 10 cents what do you call it?
Window pane to
a sash, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, that he had, and he that made extra money for it. And he was in World War II.
Yeah.
Yes. And we have his book from there that's quite interesting to read.
Yep.
So,
wounded three times in the war.
Yeah, he was. He had
Purple Heart and Oak Clusters. And actually, he was killed in action before he met my mom. The Red Cross got it wrong.
Yeah, and you know that does happen, and it was a battle in which there were 250 soldiers that were to complete the siege on this town, and out of the 250, there were only 80 that lived through it.
Wow.
So it was kind of a slaughter. They had been warned that they were coming, and they were waiting for them, and they really slaughtered. And so Grandpa was left kind of in the fields there, and then they found him. But his mother got a telegram that he had been killed in action. And then 2 days later, she gets the next telegram that he. No, it wasn't even that. It wasn't. Then I didn't have telegrams. I don't know what you call it. But anyway, that he had been found and was in a hospital somewhere. And he was in the hospital for a month, but they got him mended, and the only thing he ever said about it was that he found out soon that when he complained about the nurses giving him shots, then they sent the male, whatever, orderlies in to give him his shot. Well, it didn't take more than three or four of them, and he knew the nurses were much better than they were. So he said, don't ever think you can Let the fellows give you a shot. So I guess that's about enough. Yep.
Thanks. Yeah. So thank you, Grandma and Grandpa. Wait, great-grandma and Grandpa. So I think we're about ready to wind this down, so.
Yep. Thank you.
Thank you.
Welcome.